This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
For those who haven't bothered, mid-1970s dollars, $3,000, is in 2017, $13,955.61. Which isn't a lot either.
But it sounds better than $3,500.
Piece related to trivia, I don't know how well Heinrich's book sold, but if you have a copy of the novelization of Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Heinrich wrote the epilogue, and it's nonfiction, and it talks about UFOs, and it even has a pitch to, check out what QFOs has to offer. And if people stuck with that book, the millions that read it to the end, this was one of his greatest literary hits.
Yeah, absolutely. And they did the same thing with the movie posters for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Somewhere, now I haven't been able to find a copy of the poster to check this out myself, but somewhere on the bottom of the movie poster, there is contact information for QFOs. So yeah, between the paperback and the movie poster, QFOs got an unbelievable amount of exposure, absolutely priceless. And of course, QFOs' phone started ringing off the hook. Everybody who watched Close Encounter, it turned out, had a UFO story to tell, whether it was their own experience or the experience of a friend or a relative. Everybody started calling QFOs to report UFO sightings.
Now, when I interviewed Dr. Heinrich in the mid-70s, he had gone beyond accepting UFOs or possibly the interplanetary explanation, and he had something more 4D in concept. So let's look at that here. He's getting more serious involved in the subject. When did he say, you know what, this is real, this is strange, this is something we really need to understand?
That is such an interesting transition in his thinking. And I still kind of marvel at the way he was actually able to do this. He had, in his younger days, he had had a definite, pronounced spiritual bent. He was never religious in the traditional sense, but he did follow the teachings of certain spiritualists. He was fascinated in the teachings of the Rosicrucians. He was fascinated by the writings and teachings of a mystic named Rudolf Steiner, who believed essentially that there was a parallel universe that we could enter at will, anytime we wanted to, if we could only develop our innate faculties, our innate abilities to be able to see this dimension and cross into it. So these were ideas that were really fascinating to Heinrich in his youth. Well, he gets his PhD, he gets his first teaching position. He can't be talking about stuff like that in the classroom. So he makes this very neat transition from a young student who's fascinated by mysticism into an academic, a very serious-minded academic who is all about the facts and nothing but the facts. But then later in life, in his final years, as he was facing death when he was diagnosed with cancer, and I talked with his son Paul about this quite a bit, his dad returned to that spiritual side of things. And he started thinking in terms of the UFO phenomenon as possibly a psychic phenomenon. He started thinking that perhaps instead of coming here from other planets, maybe these were objects or manifestations that were coming here from a parallel universe, just like the one that Rudolf Steiner had described. He started wondering if maybe UFO events had a strong psychological or even psychic angle to them. He would speculate about our ability to travel through space is limited by the speed of light, but how do we measure the speed of thought? What if a UFO encounter is actually, in part, what if it's some sort of thought projection from some phenomenon or entity from another dimension or billions of miles away? How do we know?
It really sounds like the Q continuum.
It kind of does. You're right. That's an excellent example.
Tell our listeners what that means. You got to be into Star Trek.
Well, the Q continuum is basically a parallel universe where super beings can basically bend matter, time, and reality at their whim. Would you say that's a good description?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
And there's a super being from the Q continuum who visits our universe and likes to play with Captain Picard, likes to have fun and games with Captain Picard. It's been a long time since I've seen any of the episodes, so I might not have gotten the explanation exactly right, but that's my recollection of it. It's a similar thing. It's this idea that the reason we can't understand this phenomenon is because it's coming from a different universe that has different rules and different limitations and different boundaries. But somehow it's found a way to come into our universe where it completely baffles us.
Well, the factor B, when I say Q continuum in the sense messing with us, is involved. Because Q was messing with Captain Picard. And, of course, if you didn't have an actor like John DeLancey, it would never have been pulled off. You had to have the right interaction with him and Patrick Stewart for this to work.
Yes, exactly. I actually have a John DeLancey story. This is off the subject, but I'm just going to tell this quick story. If you want to cut it out, feel free. I once did a science fiction convention in Milwaukee in which John DeLancey was one of the panelists, and I was one of the panelists. And at the end of the day, all of the guest speakers got up on stage, this one giant mega panel, and they opened it up to questions from the audience. So people would ask me questions about, you know, my Star Trek writing. Well, how did you get your break? How do you come up with your story ideas? And every time I started to answer a question, John DeLancey would make some stupid joke about what I was saying. And the crowd would just eat it up. They laughed their heads off. And I was getting really frustrated because I wanted to tell DeLancey to shut up and let me talk. But then I finally realized, oh, no, this is what people came here for. This is what they're expecting. I am John DeLancey's straight man. And so I accepted my fate as John DeLancey's straight man. It's a very memorable moment in my life.
Does he have that kind of sardonic sense of humor in real life?
Absolutely. He's just unstoppable. I mean, give him anything and he will make a joke out of it. I was stunned.
The more I watch some of these TV shows, the more I realize, especially when you have a show that goes on year after year, you have to put a lot of the personality of the actor in there to keep it genuine.
Yeah, I definitely think that's the case with him. But, yeah, point is, the Q continuum is right along the lines of what Hynek was starting to think of as possible explanations for the UFO phenomenon.
Another piece of trivia, which you know about. We have another son of Dr. J. Allen Hynek, name of Joel Hynek, who's an Oscar-winning special effects person. Did he become interested, or do you know, in being a special effects artist because of his father?
That is a mystery I was never able to solve, because Paul Hynek would always promise me that he would set me up to talk with his brothers and his one sister, and for whatever reasons, it never actually happened, so I never got a chance to find out. But I also have another funny little side story along those lines, though. As part of my research for the book, I had the chance to meet the great Douglas Trumbull, the special effects designer for Close Encounters of the Third Kind and many other huge science fiction hits of the 70s and 80s. And I got a chance to meet Doug at his home in Connecticut, and we did an interview for the book. And my first question was, because Doug, it turns out, is a huge, huge UFO enthusiast. So my first question was, what kinds of talks did you have on set with Dr. Hynek about UFOs? And he said, you know what, Mark? I've always kicked myself for this, but he said, I never actually sat down and talked to him about UFOs. I was dying to. But those 3 days on set were so busy, I never had a chance to actually sit down and talk to him. But, he said, I did have a chance to work with his son later on. And it turns out it's the same son who got the Oscar for the special effects for Predator. He had come out to Connecticut and spent several months working with Doug Trumbull on, I believe, one of his motion simulation rides, which is basically most of what Doug does these days. So even though he hadn't talked with Dr. Hynek, the man, he also turned out several years later to have the opportunity to have long talks with Mr. Hynek the Younger while they were working together on a completely unrelated project.
We got more to come with Mark O'Connell. And listener questions. Curtis Collins is guest co-host. And by the way, this week on After the Paracast, we'll probably hear from the one, only, inimitable Paul Kimball. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you retired or facing retirement and you're afraid your income is going to be less than you'd like? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and I want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business working around your current schedule, creating extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusades, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, friends. Let me ask you a question. Why do we get car insurance for our cars, fire insurance for our homes, and life insurance for our lives, and not even consider identity insurance for our identities? I mean, isn't our identity one of the most important commodities we have? Well, of course it is. My friends at Liberty ID, they understand this, and that's why they're the leading provider of turnkey solutions to America's fastest growing crime, identity theft. Are you covered? Why not? Don't wait. Call today at 844-44-LIBERTY to get covered now. Do you realize that your children are vulnerable, your parents are vulnerable, and yes, you are vulnerable as well. Liberty ID has successfully, in 3 years, restored over 60,000 identities, restored their good name, and that is absolutely priceless. Now, I know there's many companies out there saying they can do this, but Liberty ID is the proven leader that restores your good name for you. Call them at 844-44-LIBERTY or visit them at libertyid.com and make sure you mention GCN at checkout for an incredible discount.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So let's continue with the trivia and then get to listener questions here. So Joel Hynek, of course, if you look him up, he was nominated for Predator. He won, by the way, for What Dreams May Come.
Oh, okay.
He did Zelig, he did Xanadu, Lady Hawk. I love that movie. He was the optical photography supervisor. He did Weird Science. He did Predator 2. He did Judge Dredd about the less said the better. He did Die Hard with a Vengeance. And he did Eraser. You are erased. Okay. All right.
That's quite a career.
He's got quite a career. He's still doing it. He's doing a TV show called The Originals. He's doing a movie called Exile to Babylon. So he's working between TV and the movies. So guy has quite a career. And you look at his face, he kind of looks like Dr. Hynek with the beard, but kind of a wider face, if that means anything.
I've never seen his picture, but I'll take your word for it.
I'm just looking online about that. We have some questions from listeners. We didn't have a lot of time to put up the information, but we have a few questions from our listeners of Mark O'Connell. Kirk, would you look them up, please?
Sure. We've got one from William Strathman, and this goes back to what we were talking about briefly about Hynek's evolving beliefs. And he says, now, first of all, we have to fact check him on this opening premise. Hynek said on a live radio broadcast that he thought UFOs came from a realm akin to that of gods and angels. Well, first of all, is that true?
I actually can believe that. I'm not sure if he would. I'm not sure how I feel about him using the gods and angels imagery, because he didn't go for that kind of thing. He really was not a religious person at all. But it's not too far off from the kind of thing that Hynek really would have said, that he thinks that UFOs may come from a realm of nature that we do not understand yet. So I guess in a way you could interpret that as God and angels, you know, if that was your predilection. So I'd say yeah, I believe Hynek would have said something along those lines. I'm just not sure if he would have used the gods and angel imagery.
We'll have to see if we can find that exact quote. But on to the question, he wants to know, did Hynek ever think that some UFOs were ET visitors traveling in metal craft? In other words, the nuts and bolts version.
Well, did he believe that? Well, Hynek was very reluctant to commit to that sort of explanation for the phenomenon. So it's not that he didn't believe it. It's that he felt that until there was proof, he couldn't get behind the theory. I mean, he actually said in a news special once, he said, anybody's free to say that they're extraterrestrial beings flying here in spaceships, but the burden of proof is on them. And that's how he basically approached the entire phenomenon. He was willing to entertain different explanations for the phenomenon, but he was never willing to commit to any one of those explanations. The end result of that was that it drove a lot of people absolutely nuts. It made a lot of people very impatient and upset with him because, of course, he's the number one UFO expert. Why won't he commit to an explanation? That's what we all want him to do, and yet he would never do it. So he frustrated a lot of people with that attitude.
That brings us to our next question, because Donald Kehoe was very specific about saying exactly what flying saucers were, that they were extraterrestrial spacecraft. And William's other question is, after Hynek changed his view from debunker to that of accepting UFO reality, did he ever correspond with Donald Kehoe or James McDonald? Now, those are two different, very different people, but I'm even interested in the earlier relationship with Donald Kehoe, if you're aware of that.
Both of those relationships actually come up in the book. There's more to the Kehoe story than I was able to cover in the book, but yeah, he was definitely an important figure. Kehoe was one of the earliest proponents of the idea that the government knew about UFOs and was refusing to tell us, okay? So that sort of kicks off the whole government cover-up conspiracy narrative that has, you know, stayed alive for so many years. So Kehoe really kind of started that whole thing. And there is an interesting moment, and I quote this in the book, when Hynek was getting frustrated with his current Blue Book chief. I can't remember who it was at the time, but he felt he was being held back from being able to fully investigate UFO cases. And he actually sent a long letter to his boss in which he said, Donald Kehoe is eating our lunch because he is doing a better job of investigating these cases than we are. If we're not careful, that's going to blow up in our faces. Well, Hynek's warning was never really heeded by his bosses, and Donald Kehoe kept sort of nipping at the heels of the Air Force, and he absolutely was a major, major annoyance to them. Who was the other one you mentioned?
Dr. James McDonald.
Oh, yeah, Dr. McDonald. That's a great story. McDonald is such a fascinating character. So he's a professor from the University of Arizona. He had seen a UFO, but he was very disappointed with the way Blue Book handled the UFO investigation. He felt that the amateur groups like NICAP and APRO just simply weren't capable of investigating his sighting. So he pulled some strings. He had some government connections, and he visited Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And he actually read all the reports, all the confidential reports in the Blue Book files, in which basically the Air Force was saying the whole point of Project Blue Book is to make people forget about UFOs, is to make people not believe in UFOs. So he reads these papers, and then he goes to Chicago to visit with Hynek, and he slams his fist on Hynek's table, and he's like, damn it, Alan, why have you been sitting there in silence for 18 years on Project Blue Book when you've had all these fantastic case reports coming your way? And Hynek was just stunned. He felt like, wait a minute, you don't understand the position I was in. It wasn't that easy. So on the one hand, Hynek was just completely aghast at the fact that McDonald was accusing him of not doing his job. But at the same time, Hynek was so thrilled that here is another colleague, an establishment scientist who has, a leading figure in academia who shares his views about UFOs, that they need to be studied more deeply. So on the one hand, Hynek was really taken aback by McDonald's anger, but at the same time, he was secretly thrilled that somebody agreed with him.
And they, what was their working relationship? I recall that I'm sure Gene knows the terminology, but after the swamp gas incident, there was a congressional inquiry of some kind, and I think they worked together on that.
I never came across any information about them working together on that. I know that McDonald's visit to Hynek came the summer after the swamp gas incident, so it was within a matter of months. And the one thing that that visit did do was it inspired Hynek to write a very long letter to the editors of Science magazine, basically giving them a status report on the field of UFO study. So that is something that McDonald, that is a very positive effect. He actually got Hynek brave enough to really break cover and write a very long letter in a very distinguished science magazine about the reality of the UFO situation.
We're continuing with The Close Encounters Man, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, the book by Mark O'Connell. With Gene and Kurt, you're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you looking to become more self-sufficient? Then you need to have your own energy source. The Solark EMP hardened generator is automatic, maintenance-free, and reduces your monthly electric bill. You can also take it off-grid when you go camping. Contact PortableSolarLLC.com or call for details at 972-575-8875 today. Portable Solar LLC gives you everything you need to start using solar energy in less than 1 hour. Solark EMP hardened solar generator energy insurance for your family or business. Call Portable Solar LLC today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code George if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Quickly, we're going to have some fascinating episodes coming up of After the Paracast. We have one upcoming with Paul Kimball and lots more. If you want to hear that show or even hear the commercial-free version of this one, you have to join the Paracast Plus. For more information, check out plus.theparacast.com, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. It's really, really worth it. We have Kurt Collins as our guest co-host with Mark O'Connell pursuing stories about Dr. J. Allen Hynek and how Dr. McDonald kind of egged Dr. Hynek along there to be more assertive?
That's a fair description. He definitely inspired Dr. Hynek to actually stick his neck out a little and make a public statement to the scientific community about the UFO phenomenon.
We had another listener question, and this was actually about your opinion, but if you wanted to try to channel Dr. Hynek for this too, Blowfish asks, what does Mark think about this article, Greetings ET, Please Don't Murder Us? And I haven't read that. I don't know if you have, but I'm assuming this has to do with the Stephen Hawking suggestion that if ET comes, we're going to come out in bad shape, because every time a superior technology comes to a primitive people, which we would be in comparison, the primitives lose out. So what's your take on that theory?
Well, I just read that article this morning, and it is an amazing story. Anybody who has a chance, read that story. It's so well-researched and so well-written. It really covers all the nuances of the positives and the negatives of us trying to make contact with other intelligences in the universe. It gives you a whole lot to think about. And it parallels in some ways some of the material in my book, because one of the leading figures in the search for extraterrestrial intelligence was Dr. Carl Sagan. Well, Sagan and Hynek had a very long professional relationship and personal relationship in which they often did battle, sometimes in public, over the UFO phenomenon. Sagan was a huge skeptic, and in fact, he made fun of anybody who talked about UFOs, including Dr. Hynek. So Sagan is a part of this article that the questioner mentioned, because he was one of the founders of the Institute for the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Now, what SETI does, with very few exceptions, SETI simply points an antenna into space and listens for signals. The article was all about this new group called METI, which was Messaging Extraterrestrial Intelligence. They're going to take the opposite approach. They are going to actively broadcast signals out into space in the hopes that some alien civilization will receive those signals. So the question is this smart? Is it smart for us to let other intelligent life forms know where we are? Even if it is okay, is it fair that that decision is being made by a handful of scientists and all the rest of us people on Earth who could be affected by this decision? We never get a say in this kind of decision. So those were kind of the two main themes of the article as I read it. And I thought it was really fascinating, and I think the author made some incredibly good points. I think we really should think about what could happen if we made our presence known. And there are good arguments on both sides. I have to say, I'm not choosing a side yet, because there are very convincing and very fascinating, thought-provoking arguments on both sides. But it's definitely, anyone who's interested in this topic should read this article.
There was one more question. This was from Technomage, and I think we've kind of covered this already, but maybe we can spin off from this. It says, was there a particularly strong case that convinced Hynek that there was more to UFOs that could be conventionally explained? And if there wasn't a case in particular, did you think there was something that gave him an idea that supported his psychic notions that there might be that kind of explanation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned before that Hynek was never always very comfortable with occupant cases, close encounters of the third kind cases. But those were the cases that very often really caused him to question his own beliefs, question his own biases. And there were a string of them that sort of came into his field of consciousness in the early 70s. He met with Father Gill, the Anglican minister from Boyanai, New Guinea, who had seen the waving UFO occupants in 1959. No sooner had he gotten back from that trip, meeting with Dr. Gill, than the Pascagoula, Mississippi abduction took place. This is in 1973 now. So all of a sudden, Hynek was confronted with some very high-profile close encounters of the third kind, and he really had to confront his own biases. And I thought those cases made some very interesting transition points for him, because he went from just loathing close encounter of the third kind cases to thinking, wow, these kinds of stories have really started to open up his thinking to alternative views of the phenomenon, because he absolutely did not doubt these witnesses. He was so convinced by the witnesses that they had actually had experiences with UFO occupants that he was forced to take it seriously. And it really made a big difference in his thinking towards the end.
Help me out with the timeline here. So Hynek was friends with Dr. Jacques Vallée. They co-wrote a book at some point, and Project Blue Book was closed. When did the Center for UFO Studies get established?
That happened in 1973. It was shortly after the Pascagoula abduction case. Only 1 week later, there was another very famous case in Ohio that involved a Army helicopter crew that almost went into a crash dive to avoid a UFO, and then the UFO grabbed the helicopter in some sort of tractor beam and pulled it up to safety. So you had these two absolutely spectacular high-profile cases taking place within a week of each other. Well, within a couple of weeks of that, all of these people are invited to be guests on a TV talk show, the Dick Cavett Show. So Hynek is there. Charles Hixon from the Pascagoula abduction is there. Lawrence Coyne, the captain of the helicopter crew, is there, all to talk about these experiences. But also on the panel that night on the talk show was Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan just ridiculed everyone else on the show. But Hynek basically waited until things had quieted down towards the end of the show and used that moment to announce that he was forming the Center for UFO Studies. And it might not have meant a whole lot to the people watching the show, but it certainly meant a lot to Carl Sagan, because it signaled that, number one, Hynek was seriously going to start a scientific study of the phenomenon, and it signaled, number two, that he had support from other scientists. And that was a bombshell bit of information. So that's when CUFOS, it was announced in late 1973, and then it really was sort of took form in 1970.
At what point, this gets to be a sad part of it, at what point did Dr. Hynek realize that his time here was rather short?
This was in the mid-80s. He and his wife had moved to Scottsdale, Arizona, which I believe you're familiar with.
Yeah, and I lived there for a number of years, starting in 1993.
Okay, well, Hynek was very glad to get away from the Chicago winters, I can tell you that. So they moved to Scottsdale, and the initial plans were, and I spent a lot of time in this on the book, there's a whole chapter devoted to this. Hynek had been tempted by promises of funding from a multimillionaire to fund a brand new UFO research center in Scottsdale, Arizona. So that was the big reason that he and his wife moved down there. Well, once they moved there, they found out that the promise of all this funding was really just smoke and mirrors. The financing never actually gelled. It never actually appeared. So the grandiose plans for a UFO research center just kind of, you know, fell apart. And it was a disappointing moment in Hynek's career, because he really thought that he was about to reach a whole new level with his ability to study the phenomenon, and it all came crashing down around him. Well, right around that time, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, I believe. And when he had surgery to have the tumor removed, the doctors discovered that he also had a brain tumor.
So most definitely sad times for Dr. J. Allen Hynek. We'll continue with our final segment with Mark O'Connell, the final years of Dr. J. Allen Hynek and more. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. If you go to store.theparacast.com, stop by and take a shopping tour.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Stop. Put that mobile phone down because it may have been compromised. Are you aware that many identity theft issues start right on your mobile device? My friends at LibertyID.com have helped over 60,000 individuals without failure get their identities back because of them being compromised. Don't be next. Call 844-44-LIBERTY. That's 844-44-LIBERTY or visit LibertyID.com to find out if, in fact, you've been compromised and use discount code GCN.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Be prepared for the next disaster with the Shelter Pod. The Shelter Pod is a large, all-season, heavy-duty, quick-deploy shelter. The Shelter Pod system can be set up in 30 seconds and includes an emergency medical kit, water filter, survival tools, and more. Are you prepared to take care of your family? Do you have everything in one place ready to go? Get it now or enter to win a complete Shelter Pod system at shelterpod.com. The Shelter Pod at shelterpod.com. Shelter when you need it most.
Hey, this is Marie D. Jones, the author of This Book is from the Future, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We have Mark O'Connell, author of The Close Encounters Man, and he's now making the public appearance circuit. He's been with Alejandro Rojas at Open Minds. You're going to join Kevin Randall, are you not?
Yes, I am. Next Wednesday, yeah.
Okay, July a few 5th. Days after you hear this, you can hear all sorts of different versions and variations. Now, knowing his time was short, and this is a hard thing to ask about anyone, did he do anything different or make plans to preserve his work? Why?
Well, there are all sorts of strange situations involved in this time of his life. There were these two figures who entered his life, Tina Choate and Brian Myers, who they actually were the ones who convinced Hynek and his wife to move to Arizona and thought that they could arrange this financing from their friend, the millionaire. So that all kind of fell apart. There were always rumors, and I did not go into this because I just didn't see any point in pursuing this story for the story I wanted to tell. But there's a story, and I'm sure many of your listeners probably know more about this story than I do, about some missing UFO case files from one of the amateur UFO research groups that, you know, sort of vanished from someone's office in Arizona around this time. So it was a bad time for ufology in general. There were some exciting plans that kind of fell through, and then these case files go missing. Hynek still had all of his initial work, though, was still intact at KUFOS in Chicago. So it's not as though his body of research was damaged or depleted in any way. That was all still intact in Chicago and still is. But yeah, it was definitely a hard time. And more, though, in his last days, he kind of moved away from, you know, the case files and the case studies and just started thinking much deeper, more spiritual thoughts. And I get a lot of this from his son, Paul, because Paul moved back in with his folks during the last year of his dad's life. So there's no better expert on what happened in the final days of J. Allen Hynek than his son, Paul. So Paul told me a lot about how his dad sort of returned to his earlier spiritual leanings, not just in terms of what his own life meant and what his own death would mean, but also in terms of what it could tell us about the UFO phenomenon. You know, this idea of the parallel universe or the supersensible realm applied to UFOs as much as it applied to Hynek and his own soul. So it was a very interesting introspective time for Hynek. Again, very, very spiritual. And then when he did die, as I mentioned in the book, he was not buried for 3 days. This is a tradition of the Rosicrucians because they believe that if the body is embalmed and interred too soon, the soul will not be able to make its journey to its next level of existence. So this was a serious enough belief to Dr. Hynek that these were part of his final wishes, that he would not be embalmed or buried for 3 days, according to Rosicrucian teachings.
Wow. And what about his legacy? I mean, you said the organization itself is just basically a small office now, but, you know, he's been a huge influence on people, and his work seems to continue, maybe not exactly as he would have wanted it, but what do you think about where ufology is now?
I don't look so much at ufology as I just look at the broader cultural implications of Hynek's work, and I think if you look at that, there's no denying the man has had an immense, immense influence on all of our lives. Our constant fascination with flying saucers and aliens, the X-Files, all the alien invasion movies and TV series, the series that have been made over the years, all of these things really came about because Hynek was willing to go out on the limb decades ago and say, hey, this isn't just people's imagination. There is something real going on here. And if we're smart, we'll try to figure out what that is. Even if we never do figure out what it is, we should keep trying because it could be really important. It could be an important part of our existence and the reason why we're here. So I believe that Hynek's legacy is immense. Our culture is so permeated with UFO thoughts and imagery. And it's not just the UFO field. It's also modern science. So much of modern science comes about because of the pioneering work that Hynek did as an astronomer in the 40s and 50s and 60s. The Hubble Space Telescope, our whole series of space telescopes, including the Kepler telescope, that was Hynek's idea back in the 1950s and in the early 60s. Hynek was the first astronomer to try to get a telescope up above the Earth's atmosphere where it could get clearer images of astronomical bodies. That was Hynek's idea. And that's what became the Hubble Space Telescope. So if you put together the influence on pop culture, on ufology, and on modern science, you've got a massive legacy that I think continues to shape our world even today.
Now, one thing here, it's kind of too bad. Hynek was involved in a book called Night Siege, and one of the co-authors was, of course, Philip Imbrogno, who unfortunately turned out to be a big fake later on. I just wonder what Dr. Hynek would have thought had he known it then.
Well, I think he probably would have been deeply embarrassed. I think that book came, I never dug into that a whole lot. It wasn't really central to the story I was trying to tell in the book. But from what I understand, that book came about at a time when, you know, I think it was Hynek was coming off the disappointment of things not working out so well in Arizona, and he was kind of, you know, looking for maybe that one more case that would point the way, that would maybe give us some final piece of evidence. He was fascinated with a couple of different cases at that period. The Hessdalen Lights, I think I'm pronouncing that properly, the Cash-Landrum sighting, and of course the sightings in the book that you're talking about. Those were kind of Hynek's sort of last attempt to try to sort of glean something about the UFO phenomenon from a few final cases. But yeah, that one in particular, I think he probably would be embarrassed if he had known how it all washed out.
Did Hynek ever consider the possibility that some of those early UFO cases, and I'll mention Roswell as an example, may have been the result of some kind of government experiment?
Well, he just didn't like to talk about saucer crash stories at all. He found them pretty distasteful. And part of that was, if you're talking about a saucer crash, then the implication is that the saucer was a nuts and bolts phenomenon. It was a physical object that had been created by some intelligence. And again, Hynek never wanted to commit himself to that kind of thinking. So he just stayed away from cases like that. And as far as, you know, the Air Force cover-up, again, he believed the Air Force's cover-up had more to do with them not knowing things than actually knowing things. So, you know, I don't have much of an answer for you. Those were cases that Hynek actually shied away from, and I think with good reason.
If our listeners want to know more about the things that Mark O'Connell has done or is doing, where can they check you out?
Well, there's the book, The Close Encounters Man, which is now available at bookstores everywhere, and I also write a blog called High Strangeness, and you can find that at highstrangenessufo.com. That's highstrangenessufo, all one word, .com.
Kurt Collins, if our listeners want to know more about your stuff, where do they go?
BlueGloryLines.com.
Okay. You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find us on Facebook, two official Paracast fan clubs, because nobody can do just one. No, that doesn't even sound right. We also have that special service for you where you can get a commercial-free version of this show, free of 41 minutes of network's ads that we just cut out. You never hear them. Better quality audio. And the way to do that is to become a member of the Paracast Plus. Go to plus, P-L-U-S dot theparacast.com. That's plus dot theparacast.com. We also give you the After the Paracast podcast, which is absolutely 1,000% unpredictable. Okay? Totally unpredictable. We never know what's going to happen. We have special guests. We have people talking. It's uninhibited and uncensored. So check out how to become a member of the Paracast Plus at plus.theparacast.com. This price has started just $1.49 a week. Now imagine what it costs to buy a Starbucks coffee. plus.theparacast.com. Hey, Kurt, thank you so much on like an hour and a half notice for filling in as the guest co-host this week. We really appreciate it.
Well, you had a good guest, and I would listen to the show. I was glad to be part of it.
Mark O'Connell, thank you so much for remembering a really great guy. Thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you both for having me and for making the whole experience so much fun. I really enjoyed myself.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.